Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, creating bathrooms for daily rejuvenation. More at callmosby.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Members of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen have been at loggerheads over how to divide a roughly $294 million settlement emanating from the departure of the St. Louis ramps. Aldermen have disagreed over what to prioritize, culminating in a Tuesday meeting where members decided to table the matter until after the April general election. To outside observers, shelving this weighty decision could showcase aldermanic dysfunction. Last Friday's meeting featured Board President Megan Green abruptly recessing, and Green faced some heat over since-retracted allegations that aldermen were drinking on the job. But others, like Alderwoman Alicia Saunier, believe that pressing pause was the right call to get a better outcome for the city.
You know, clearly we needed more conversation around this. And I think when you're talking about almost $300 million, it makes sense that this is something that may take a little bit more time than usual, that you might think that you're ready to move forward and instead need to pause and regroup and recalibrate.
So what happened and where do aldermen go from here? Joining us to talk about the St. Louis Rams settlement saga is Eric Schmid, who covers economic development policy for St. Louis Public Radio. Eric, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks for having me. What a journey it's been.
And what a journey it will be through this segment. And I'd like to invite our listeners into this conversation. If you have a question or comment about the St. Louis Rams settlement saga, give us a call at 314-382-8255. Eric, I know there have been more twists, turns, ups, downs to the situation than we probably have time for, but can you summarize why the board decided against passing any bills this week, divvying up the Rams settlement?
I mean, the short answer is they didn't have the votes.
Okay. Why didn't they have the votes, Eric?
they didn't have the votes on a full measure, I think, for a variety of reasons. One of them being the Trump administration's decision to say it was going to cut federal funding. That really spooked a lot of aldermen, saying, whoa, we need to pause, we need to slow down. You know, this is a one-time pot of money that is unrestricted. The city can do anything with it. And if the federal government is making these accusations, or not accusations, but is posturing that they might not give city governments like St. Louis money in the future, then maybe we need to rethink how this is going to be spent and not fully allocate it to, maybe the ways that we've fully allocated it in these bills are not the best ways in the future given the current climate. And I think also there weren't the votes because there were, you know, certain provisions that, you know, aldermen just didn't agree on or didn't want to support, or, you know, some people wanted something and wanted it in return. It just kind of fell apart.
Now, one big subplot on Tuesday was that some members of the board wanted to pass a bill allocating some of the Rams money for water infrastructure. Joshua Lawrence on Blue Sky asked, the top result of the survey was water. Why did the board go against the Democratic result and put it on the informal calendar on Tuesday?
Yeah, so that was a measure that was being pushed by Ward 1 Alderwoman Ann Schweitzer. Also, Ward 9 Alderman Michael Browning were both involved in wanting to see at least some money go to the water department for water infrastructure. As far as I could tell on Tuesday, the big reason why that faltered or failed was because you had a coalition, a contingent of the Northside Aldermen, who stood up and said, if you can give money to the water department, then you should give money to North St. Louis. And then there started to be squabbling over, like, how much money should go to North St. Louis. And it kind of almost became this little political chip in it. And then it became the decision to just say, well, let's pause on doing anything on this because there was clearly no agreement that was going to be reached.
You mentioned Alderwoman Ann Schweitzer, who represents St. Louis's first ward. Here's what she had to say after Tuesday's meeting.
You know, I think that water is still something people care about. I heard it called a bargaining chip a few times, and I don't think of it like that. I think of it as a basic, crucial city service that we have to provide. I hope that when we come back next session, it'll still be a priority of people on the boards. If I'm able to come back next session, it'll certainly be one of my priorities.
That was First Ward Alderwoman Ann Schweitzer talking to Eric Schmid right after the Tuesday meeting. Eric, do you see water infrastructure being a key part of any RAM settlement deal if it emerges?
I mean, I think it would be. For example, I was driving home yesterday and there was a water main break on Grand, where right by that new Target. You know, there's a water main break on my street, you know, after the winter storm. I think a lot of people are experiencing the ways that the city's water infrastructure is depleted or needs a lot of work, and the during the whole committee process, the director of the city's water division, Patel is his last name, had said there's something like $400 million of money that. $400 million of improvements that the water division needs to make. And so, yes, $40 million to them would not be a lot to cover all of that, but it's like something to get started. With having that allocation in place, then they could start, working on it going forward. To circle back to your question, yeah, I think it will be a priority, especially because both bills that Alderman had been considering had pretty much identical language on money that would go to the water division or the for those improvements. It wasn't something that was contentious between the two pieces of legislation that were in front of aldermen.
And by the way, the director of the utilities and public utilities and water commissioner is Niraj Patel.
Yes.
One of the things I noticed is that Board of Aldermen President Green really wanted to create an endowment to help defray the cost of daycare, particularly for city employees. Can you explain what that plan was?
Yeah, so included in the legislation that Alicia Sonier had put forward, which was backed by Green and Mayor Jones, there is a provision to create an endowment fund for childcare and also some youth post-secondary opportunities. And essentially what that would do is take a portion of that RAMS money and place it in a fund that would kick off money every year. It'd be the interest that would pay for these, pay to defray the cost of childcare. And that the way that would work is it would only be hundreds of thousands or a few million dollars a year that would actually go toward this program, and it would be something that the city would pilot. So they would start off and start small and see if it worked and see if people liked it, and then maybe try and expand it based off of the principle of the endowment, growing. They could solicit outside investments or donations from the business community or philanthropy or places to try and grow that and say, okay, here we have this pot of money that is, kicking off a little bit every single year that goes to this program, with the idea that it would be a long-term thing. You wouldn't spend down that principal. Instead, presumably you could allocate more money to it and grow that so that the program could grow beyond just city workers to include potentially everybody in the city. That was a big priority, but it came up a lot in discussion, and the question that Alderman had was like, how can we even support and sustain this? And I think, where the communication was, challenging on that was to, really be clear about, it's not like we're, giving $30 million to just stand up a new program. It would be we're setting aside $30 million so that the money it throws off every single year can start a new program that we could potentially grow in the future.
Let's go to Scott from St. Louis. Scott, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Oh, hi. Hey, how are you doing? I think that money should be used equally for all citizens of St. Louis. I don't think any one subset of group people should get more benefit out of that money than another group. We have terrible roads. We've got thousands of water lines that need to be replaced, plus other major infrastructure. There's terrible roads in North St. Louis. There's terrible roads in Central St. Louis. There's terrible roads in South St. Louis. I think that money should be 100% used to benefit all people equally. And I'm completely against any of that money being used for childcare for city workers. That's completely unfair. So anyway, that's basically what I got to say about it.
Scott, thank you so much for your comment. Eric, what do you make of Scott's discussion right there?
Yeah, I mean, that's how, what Scott says is how I'm sure a lot of people in the city feel, that putting a portion of this money that the city won to specifically advantage a subset of people who live here is inherently unfair. I also think that the city is down on workers. They're, you know, one of the big things in the like idea portal was giving city workers a raise, and that was never on the table because.
And I actually talked with St. Louis Mayor Tishara Jones about that last year, and I basically said that is not a good idea.
Yeah, because it's one-time money.
Because it's one-time money, and she agreed with me.
Mm-hmm. And so this idea around providing, you know, defraying the cost of childcare for city workers could be seen as a additional benefit to say, okay, if you're, you know, how can we bolster the city workforce, which is aging, which there are a lot of open positions and positions that haven't been filled, would this be a way to get people back in the workforce or entice them to move here or entice them to consider investing their time and effort and resources and money into this community? Of course, now that's off the table because no bill actually came to fruition. But I think, you know, our listener in Scott has a good point. You know, there were people during public comment who stood up and said, I don't agree with this. I would say also a lot more people stood up and said childcare is incredibly expensive, prohibitively expensive, and it is keeping me out of the workforce, and I don't want to be out of the workforce.
I can agree that childcare is expensive as the father of three small kids. Now, we got a couple of questions about the timeline for allocating these funds. For example, Go Luby on Blue Sky asks, does the board have to decide how to spend all the money now? And Braden STL on Instagram says, we understand that this delay will push projects back for years, and that's exactly the problem. Why, you know, how can we be responsible and have timely allocations of these funds when so many people need it now? So can you talk about is there a timeline on this, and is the delay going to hurt, like, trying to solve some of these problems that aldermen want to solve?
Yeah. The answer to, is there a timeline on this? No, there isn't. Like, the money right now is just in a interest-bearing account. It's going to continue to grow. It started off as $250 million. Now it's up to $300 million, and that's just because of it, you know, growing because of interest and going back into that. So there isn't a timeline that aldermen need to spend it, unlike the American Rescue Plan Act tranche of dollars, which had a timeline on it. You know, in terms of whether or not a delay will mean more city services don't happen, that is true. You know, the money is in the bank. It is not allocated to departments to, you know, fix streets, to invest in water infrastructure, to do neighborhood or community development. You know, whatever the proposals are that aldermen had to actually spend this, those aren't happening, and it will take time for those to actually ramp up once they allocate it in the future, as soon as, you know, they get back from the spring elections.
Let's go to Nick. Nick, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. I have two suggestions. One would be buying back firearms from people that mainly live in the city, paying them for it. The program's been in place before. I think that'd be a good way to spend the money. And the other thing would be to just literally leave it in the interest-bearing account and use the $20 million or whatever it is a year on certain projects. In that way, it'll quell some of the disruption over what to do with the money right away.
Nick, thank you so much for your comments. And Eric, before we let you go, can we take a step back and talk about the public engagement component of what happened? Because there are a lot of people like Nick that have had these individualized ideas. There are other commenters on social media saying, why don't we give it to SLPS? Like, how did the public, like, engagement play into, you know, what people proposed?
What the alderman proposed?
Yes.
Yeah. So those public comments, as I understand it, really shaped the way that the bill that Alicia Sonnier drafted and filed, that was backed by Board President Green and also Mayor Tishara Jones. Like, it was the way that they messaged it. It was, you know, we put this idea portal together. We had people vote on this. We gathered a whole bunch of feedback, you know, tens of thousands of touch points and all of that stuff. And that's what informed the priorities that are laid out in that piece of legislation. So they would say, you know, we asked the public what they wanted. This is the, you know, the aggregate results. And that's what the bill is organized around. Of course, did the public input work? it's hard to say whether it did or didn't because we don't have a bill path.
Yeah. But before we go, I do want to ask about something that popped up over the weekend, which sucked up a lot of my Saturday. Green put out posts on Facebook alleging that aldermen were drunk during Friday's meetings. She singled out Alderman Joe Vollmer, who vigorously denied he drank anything but coffee during that meeting, and Green apologized to Vollmer. I listened to that whole meeting. I didn't hear any reference to that. Is the whole talk of aldermanic inebriation just water under the bridge right now?
It might be. I mean, it didn't really come up on Tuesday that the feeling in the chamber was, or in the chambers, was pretty subdued. I mean, it was just kind of people moving procedurally through and not getting very worked up as had been the case on the Friday meeting that was recessed.
Yeah. Okay. One other question before I let you go. Who do you think will win, the Chiefs or the Eagles this weekend?
Oh, can't they both lose?
Well, I hope they both have fun.
Yes. Yes.
Neither of us are actually fans of
either
the Chiefs or the Eagles. I'm a Bears fan. You're a Denver Broncos fan, correct?
I don't even know who I root for anymore.
But are you going to root for, them to just have a great time?
I hope they have a great time. I won't be watching. That's how I'm voting.
Okay, but back to city politics. What will you be watching in the coming weeks?
I will be watching to see, Board President Green has suggested that she could call a special session during the election break. So maybe that happens. Who knows? I will be watching to see who wins the race for mayor, particularly.
Because that's a big elephant in the room, and comptroller, too, because they have say over the Board of Estimate and Apportionment.
Yeah. Yeah. So it may change the dynamics of what an eventual bill or what an eventual spending package actually looks like, because if we have a different mayor or a different comptroller with different priorities or different opinions on what things should look like, then it influences, presumably what legislation would make it to the desk. Because even if a bill makes it through the Board of Aldermen to the mayor still has to sign it into law. And if there is a different mayor, there will be different priorities, and that will filter in.
Eric Schmid covers economic development for St. Louis Public Radio. Eric, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.